says here in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1, let us cleanse ourselves, middle of that verse, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit. Our spirit can very easily be defiled. There's a defilement of the flesh, which I would say refers to outward sin, and defilement of the spirit, which refers to inward motives, attitudes, etc., which we can cover up very easily. But if I want to inherit God's promises, it says here in verse 1 that I have to cleanse myself not only from the defilement of the flesh, but the defilement of the spirit. And if I'm not careful to keep my spirit pure, I may miss out on the promises of God. And certainly, there is no question of perfecting holiness, like the rest of that verse says, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, if I'm not careful about my spirit. The mark of an Old Testament person is, of a good Old Testament person, is that he's very careful to avoid all defilement of the flesh. The Ten Commandments basically dealt with defilement of the flesh. Anyway, 9 of them. The 10th, thou shalt not covet, went a little deeper. But 9 of those commandments dealt with defilement of the flesh on the outside. And I believe God put that 10th one in there just to see how many would be honest enough to acknowledge we can't keep it. Thou shalt not lust, thou shalt not covet. But that was sort of a little thing put in there to show that there was more to it than just these external things. And that's the one commandment that Paul says in Romans 7 he had a constant problem with. He says, I could keep all the other 9. But when it came to the 10th, he says, I found all types of lusting and coveting in my spirit. And he says, how would I be free from this? And that's in Romans 7. In Romans 8 he says, what the law could not do, God has done. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus set me free from the law of sin and death. See, the law of Moses was written laws of, you know, thou shalt do this and thou shalt not do that and thou shalt do this, thou shalt not do that. But the law of the Spirit mentioned in Romans 8 too is not laws. It's not written things. The law of the Spirit is fundamentally different from the law of Moses. The law of Moses was a number of rules. And a lot of Christians who, if they really examine their life, they'll discover they're living by rules. Many, many Christians, perhaps you may discover if you were honest with yourself, you've got certain unwritten rules to preserve your testimony in an organization or in a church or in the midst of other Christians. You say, I shouldn't do this because that'll spoil my testimony, or I shouldn't do this because then I won't be useful for God, or, you know, with various reasons, but unwritten rules by which we try to live our life. It's good. It's a good Old Testament life. But that's not New Testament at all. The New Testament law of the Spirit is described in Romans 8 too as a life. Life in Christ Jesus. It's the difference between the two trees in the garden. One was a knowledge of good and evil. That's laws. This is bad, that is good. This movie is good and that one is bad, etc. But life in Christ Jesus is something completely different. You see, it's like my tongue. If I put bad food into my tongue, I don't need a rule book to tell me whether it's good or bad. If I've got life, I spit it out immediately. It just tastes bad. But you put it on a dead man's tongue, he doesn't feel anything. So the law of the Spirit is life. A life which can taste. You don't need rules. You don't need a list of bad movies and good movies, or bad books or good books, bad websites, good websites. You don't need them. It's life. And the rejection of something which doesn't have the life of God in it, which doesn't have the approval of God in it, is immediate. Just like bad food comes on my tongue and I don't even take a second to spit it out. So this is the law of the Spirit. And this is the law we must live by. And the Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit and tells us things concerning defilement in our spirit which we can very easily ignore and still keep a good testimony before men. You can live years, all your life, with a good testimony before men and completely ignore the voice of the Spirit telling us about filthiness in the spirit. It's a fearful thing when I read about David. You know, there's a beautiful passage in 2 Samuel 15 or 16 where there's this guy called Shimei who curses David when David's running away from Absalom. And one of David's soldiers says, "Let me go and chop off this fellow's head who's cursing you and calling you all types of names." And David says some amazing words. It's an indication of how much he understood of God's sovereignty. He says, "If God has told Shimei, curse David, who am I to fight against God?" Think of having that attitude to somebody who treats you badly. I mean, we would put it slightly more accurately that if God has allowed this man to curse me or to treat me badly or tell a lie about me or tell stories about me, well, God's allowed it, okay? I'm not going to fight against God. But we read that David, who behaved so magnanimously at that time, just before he died, in 1 Kings, it's one of the first two or three chapters there, just before he died, in fact, those are the last words recorded of David before he died, he told Solomon, "Don't spare this fellow Shimei. He cursed me some years ago. Don't let him have a natural death. Kill him. I promised not to kill him, so I can't do it. But Solomon, you never made any such promise." He was going according to the law. He'd keep his word, all right. So he got a hired killer to do the job. You know, the thing that brings a fear into my heart there is, if you don't cleanse your spirit, when you become old and senile, what's inside is going to come out. You better cleanse yourself immediately. And we're fooling ourselves. If we think we're clean, we're not clean inside. Thoroughly cleansed from filthiness of the flesh and not filthiness of the spirit. Now, I don't blame David. He lived under the old covenant. The veil was not rent. He could not penetrate those inner beings that we can. He perhaps didn't hear the voice of the Spirit like we can. The Holy Spirit was not given in the way He's given now. But I see that possibility. I see Christians who, old, they've been believers many years, and as they grow old, they are sour and grumpy and bitter. I say, "God, save me from ever being like that when I grow old. I want to be a cheerful, happy person, happier and more cheerful as I grow older." And the only way to do that is to keep our spirit clean, to keep our conscience absolutely clean. And the best way to keep our conscience clean is to cleanse it as soon as you're aware that there's something wrong. It's like if a thorn or a nail got into your foot. I mean, how long would you keep it there? How long? If you didn't know, that's another thing. You know, people who have leprosy get things into their feet and they don't feel it because they've lost sensation. But we're not like that. As soon as you know, you pull it out immediately. Why should it be there? Why should I have something within me which I know very well is contrary to the Spirit of Christ? Why should I retain an attitude towards a human being, leave alone a brother, to a human being, which I know very well is not the attitude Jesus would have? Why should I keep that even for 1 second? Why should I keep a nail in my foot for 1 second if I know it's got in? okay, accidentally I tramped on something and I got it under my foot. I was careless. Okay, well, the next best is pull it out immediately. Wash it off. We do that with our bodies. None of us would ever keep anything on our body. We flick off a mosquito, leave alone a nail. A mosquito. Imagine if we lived like that in relation to filthiness of the spirit. Where we would have been today if we had lived like that from the day we were converted. Well, we can't do anything about our past life. But we can do something about the future to ensure that we keep our spirit pure. We worship in the spirit. We keep our spirit pure.